Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Welcome to Life Play. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Matthew Ike. Matthew, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. Matt is Executive Vice President with U.S. Energy Development Corporation. They're a leading oil and gas investment company that they've invested in over 2,400 wells in the United States and Canada and have deployed over $1.5 billion on behalf of their partners. I bet those numbers are probably larger than that at this point, Matt, but get the idea. Excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Ooh. So outside of ego and hubris, you mean? What I do, what I do?
Whatever.
It's always family, right? So I think what drives and motivates us all is I have a wife and three beautiful children, and trying to build a legacy for them and future generations is just part and parcel of our DNA. So it's my primary motivation. What we do is, I think we're a pretty unique energy company in the sense that we marry investment philosophies to the energy space, and we try to find the best risk-adjusted arbitrages and the best tax mitigation tools. So we're constantly scanning and combing through the tax code to find nuances to create return arbitrages, and then we're constantly operating and managing assets in the energy space that we believe will create the best, kind of risk-adjusted profile, and marrying the two things together and designing investments and bringing them to market. So that's our passion. It's really largely a financial planning firm that uses energy as its medium versus, thinking of it as an energy company. It's more of a finance company that loves the energy space.
That's an interesting way to think about it, for sure.
Yeah.
How long have you been sort of looking at it in that way, or have you always?
So I guess I've always looked at it that way. I've been in the business for about 17, 18 years. So quite some time, but in finance before that on Wall Street. And when our company is a family, second generation family company. And when my father-in-law and mother-in-law were the founders, I guess we'd say we were a larger energy company. But their background was in education and finance. And so it was just a natural marriage, right? Just to his history, my father-in-law, and then to where we are now. And my partner, our CEO, my brother-in-law, he also comes from a Wall Street background. So it just made a ton of sense to us to move in that direction as we transition from a generation one to a generation two company.
That's not the easiest thing to do.
No, no one wants to be the shirt sleeves, right? In one generation, nobody wants to be the one that takes something that's grown and destroy it or shrink it. So it's been really an amazing opportunity for us. And it's really been amazing to grow and thrive, especially since people probably don't recognize it today, but the energy industry has been quite volatile over the last 7-10 years. It's not been an easy place to be. And to not just survive, but to thrive during that time, I think is a pretty special opportunity we were given.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. And here we find ourselves I don't know if this is I don't even know if it's a unique time. Are we in a unique and unprecedented time when it comes to energy?
Yes, we are. And I don't know where it starts and where it stops, but I think the all the different forces that are out there from climate change to the geopolitical forces that we're facing to the ESG movement, to you name it. I think we're in a very interesting time and shaping a lot of things going forward. So yeah, I it's quite unique, to say the least, to be in the energy space right now.
Yeah.
You know, and often it's an interesting thing because it's often villainized, right? One side or the other is it has to be a good or bad. There's no just energy is a, I mean, when we really look backwards, energy is the reason we live like we live, right? It's the reason that everything's worked and that we have the society we have today is we've had abundant energy. It's been the primary source of the US, the global change in, you know, our lifestyles, our health, everything that we have has really come from the last 150 years of easy and accessible energy. So we should think of it as this unbelievable, great beacon of good. And yet it's turned into weapons of war. It's turned into the worst evils ever. It's really interesting how polarized it's become.
Yeah, it is. And probably not all that surprising because that's sort of what we like to do is really draw lines in the sand and say, I'm going to be over here. Y'all are over there.
Uh-huh. And if you're not with me, you're against me. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And we're not going to have a thoughtful conversation about it. But that's the reality is that low cost energy has brought so many people out of poverty. Certainly it's led to wonderful success here in the United States, but it's helped so many people all over the world to extend life expectancy and live much better lives.
Yeah. And in fact, it's funny when you contrast even within the letters of like E, S, and G, right? So just take the social responsibility to the environmental and the inherent conflict in the energy space between those two things, right? The socially responsible thing is to allow the rest of the world that is not industrialized, that doesn't have cheap energy, to really allow itself to benefit from what we benefit from, right? To have the ability to have the lifestyles that we have, to have cheap energy, that directly conflicts with the sustainable part of E, right? Those two things are in a direct contrast from each other, and which is more important and powerful, right? The conditions of which humans live, or X or Y. And it's an interesting, and I think finally becoming more of a thoughtful discussion instead of just a draw a line in the sand, choose one, and let's all hate each other, mm-hmm. right? I think that, and we can look back on a lot of it. Like, I think we look back on the 70s and say, you know, maybe our fight against nuclear was ill-conceived, well-intended, but ill-conceived, right? Maybe we should have been focusing on the improvements in technology to make nuclear safer because it is renewable, right? And unlimited, and the single greatest source of power. And if we're going to have an electric grid, you have only two real choices, because you don't want it to be coal, it's natural gas, or it's nuclear. The rest can't do enough. So yes, you need solar and wind combined, but the only way to get enough for all of us to get what we need is to go back to nuclear. So I do think it's interesting what time you're in and what period and what you think is right versus what ends up being, you know, more responsible in the long run.
Yes, that is 100% one of the most interesting things, and something else that we're grappling with as a human race, as a society right now. So in terms of the folks like you that are actually pulling this stuff out of the ground, I believe that the vast majority of companies that do it are smaller independent operators. Is that right?
Yeah, maybe not by quantity. It's probably pretty evenly split between the majors and private companies, but in terms of the number, there's far more small companies, like any small business, right? There's far more small businesses in America in the energy patch than there are large corporations. Volume-wise, that's not necessarily right. Foreign countries and large consolidated, U.S. oil companies probably have the majority of production reserves, but definitely not the majority of companies going after those reserves. And currently, with that aforementioned ESG movement, the majors have really been restricted in how much they produce. So the gap has really been filled by private companies over the last 2 years, maybe as long as 4 years.
Interesting. So when the public pressure or the pressure from wherever is saying we need to reduce emissions, whatever it is, we need to stop doing what it is that you do, then that actually does have an impact on big producers, which leads to an opportunity/need for smaller independent producers?
Yeah. I mean, it's the only reason that we have enough production to meet our daily needs is that the independent producers kind of came in and filled that void. Because everyone else has been restricted. Banks can't loan, large cap companies can't issue new equity, right? They're forced to operate within cash flow, pay dividends, buy back shares, invest in renewables and cap their carbon output. So the only ones left are the private companies to come in, and fill that void. So it's been a huge opportunity set, I think good and bad. So selfishly, it's amazing. It's fantastic. It's created probably the single greatest wealth arbitrage, maybe in the history of the country, but definitely in the history of energy in a 4-year stretch for private companies. But the bad side of it is when you do that, you take from highly regulated, highly transparent processes to less efficiency in small operators and maybe less transparency and probably less environmental stewardship. So not speaking for ourselves because we focus very heavily on it, but you know, a small company is going to have a lot harder time putting in all those checks and balances and cost savings and transparency that a major has to. So in some sense, you know, while it's a great opportunity set, I do sometimes wonder if we're doing a disservice in what we've done.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
That political decisions have unintended consequences, Matthew?
No. Never. Never.
As you're looking at Europe and Russia and Germany and winter, what are your thoughts?
I think we get through this winter. It's a really scary situation. So to put this in context for everyone, there's a realistic situation where people are not just rationed, but run out of energy in an industrialized world. Not just rolling blackouts, like dark ages style. We don't have enough energy. The lines in Poland to get coal right now are so long where people are actually getting physical coal for their house to actually heat their house for the winter. And they're waiting in lines as if this was the Soviet Union, right? Like there's some amazing things happening in an industrialized world that people just don't comprehend. And I think what's really scary is what we realize from this goes back to that S component. The most socially responsible thing to do from a global perspective is to probably have the best actors producing the most and the worst actors producing the least. Like we want the US producing more natural gas because of its standards, and we want Russia producing less, right? At the end of the day, if there's X amount of supply going to market, we sure as heck don't want Venezuela, Russia, Iran, and the worst actors in the world to have that power, right? We really want it to be the countries that have. So we want Poland to open up their own natural gas reserves. They've been unable to drill and frack for the last decade. Well, they have enough reserves to provide for themselves, but because of their policies, they didn't. They relied on Russia. Well, that's really bad social responsibility, right? It's actually, you know, we made our bed, now we got to lie in it. It's pretty sad. And what happens that really scares me is next year, if Europe makes it through the winter and has enough supply, the U.S. is going to have a really difficult choice on its hands. And this is really natural gas specific, not so much oil. We produce and distribute about 20% of our natural gas through LNG globally. Well, natural gas is $70 an MCF in Europe. It's $7 here. Just putting in context of cost, next November, we're going to have to choose to fill our own inventories. And if we don't, we'll see $20 in MCF gas. But socially, if we don't, Europe will be without power. So if this goes on for another year, the question becomes, how do we weigh that economic cost? Who's going to burden that? Who's going to shoulder that, right? If the U.S. doesn't have excess capacity and we run through a cold winter, are people going to be okay with rolling blackouts in the U.S. to help Europe? I don't think people realize how serious this is and that we're only a year away from absolute calamity. And maybe it happens this winter. You know, El Nino is in effect. And it's scary if you get a cold winter right now in Europe, what happens? So I don't know. I'm not very happy with the global situation we face, and it's all self-induced, which is even sadder.
Right. It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't see it. We're 3,000 miles away.
Right. So everything's fine here.
Yeah. But next year when we have $20 MCF gas and your electric bill is seven times higher, what are you going to do? Like what? And by the way, seven times higher is nowhere near the 40 times higher they're seeing in Europe. Like, just putting it in context. And then just think about what that happens from an economic standpoint, the shutdowns, the inability to manufacture, the logisticals, everything's a nightmare, right? And people don't realize that we're actually facing a similar situation that we seem to have averted here in the U.S. So I'll use kind of a political habit. Do you remember the Keystone Pipeline, kind of the big conversation for years?
Sure.
Pipeline. I don't think people really know what the Keystone Pipeline is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring heavy crude from Canada down to the U.S. It's really what it does. And from a pure environmental perspective, you'd rather have it pipelined than railed, right? Because it's coming down to the refinery. The refineries need it to make diesel, right? You need the heavy crude with the U.S. light sweet crude, combine the two, and then in essence, you get your distillates and your diesels. And it's still coming here, but it's coming through Burlington Northern, right? It's coming through the railroads. It's a lot less environmentally sound than coming through the pipeline. But now we're getting less quantity than we should. And the problem becomes, if you think about the U.S. logistical supply chain issues, how do we get everything to market? How do we get, we truck it? Everything's coming from diesel. Well, you run through a diesel shortage, and you're already at a pricing diesel shortage this summer that was nasty, right? But an actual supply side shortage where there's not enough diesel to get supplies to market, what happens to inflation? Too much money, too few goods. This doesn't become a five-year problem. This becomes a 15-year problem. And it's all because we had to make stupid political decisions based on feel-good moments versus the actual necessities of what we need to run. And the Northeast is seeing this in the same thing in natural gas, where people in the North are going to pay obscene amounts for natural gas next year. Yet, because of the infrastructure in the South, the same amount of supply in the Utica and the Marcellus as there is maybe a lot more than in the Haynesville and the Permian, from a gas side, yet the South has unlimited infrastructure, has built pipelines, and the North didn't allow it, and they can't get product to market. It's just an amazing phenomenon that we've just done a poor job of politicizing everything instead of realizing that it's not political. There's no political argument here. It's just to do what's right. Sorry, it's kind of a soapbox.
Not at all. That's I think it strikes me that the sooner we can start having these real conversations about what life will look like in a pretty short amount of time, the better. Cause I can't imagine you just throw a switch and all of a sudden, oh, just we went back to what we were doing before. Now it's okay.
Yeah. It's crazy. In the reality, so here's the big kind of picture that people should get. Intelligent people should also say renewables are essential. Right. So you have 8 billion people on this planet, and there's going to be 10 billion at some point in time, probably in the next 10 years. And there's not enough, even if you didn't believe in global warming, even if you just thought it was all a hoax, the reality is on the backside of this, there's still people who need energy, and you couldn't produce enough fossil fuel energy to handle a 10 billion people load. Especially the standard of living that everyone wants to live, which is our standard, right? No, that's just a median standard globally. There's just not enough to meet the growth of consumption, all the future growth. You need every source of energy, every renewable possible to try to meet that, to replace the growth. Not even the base load, just to handle the growth of consumption. It's an all of the above scenario, right? And there's not enough land mass to do solar and wind. We know that. but there's also not enough fossil fuels to provide for everybody. And you need all of the above, and you need it strategically located in areas that have sun and that have wind and that have water for the hydro. And you need all of it. And the answer is all of the above. It's not one or the other. And I don't know why we've turned it into this competitive, it has to be one or the other. The answer is no. For 10 billion people on this planet, we need every single source of energy, cheap and abundant and renewable and efficient, and you name it, so that all of our standards of living can increase, all of our health, everything that we do, right? We need more fertilizer, which means we need more fossil fuels to create more fertilizer so we have better farms to give us more food. It's all a big circle. Like, this isn't, they're not against each other. They're all for each other.
Matthew Eck, the voice of reason. Amen. Well, Matt, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with U.S. Energy Petroleum Corporation, U.S. Energy Development Corporation?
Yeah, feel free to find us on any, you know, LinkedIn, social media, U.S. Energy Development Corporation, or our website, usedc.com. Love to chat. If you're an investment professional, which is really what we do, feel free to contact us on the investment side. We do a lot of education, training, continuing education in the direct energy space. So feel free to call us.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Matthew your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to usedc.com. Just search for U.S. Energy Development Corporation and find out if there's an opportunity to work together. Thanks again, Matt.
Thanks, George.
And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.